Most Holy Reverend Marvin Gaye on your radio, friend. We're getting it on for a thank God it is Friday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable New Year's package, Glenn Klein. And he is the amazing Kreskin. Please welcome him to Community Conversation now. Good morning, Mr. Amazing.
Glenn, I got to tell you something, and I said this before I went on the air. I just hear your voice for 10 seconds, and you sound like a truly classic radio personality. It's great personality. Great to hear you. By the way, though, just in hearing him talk now and tuning in on him, folks, since the show is live and he dare not edit this out, if I come in the area there in Wisconsin, I'm staying overnight, so I'm going to come on the show live with Glenn. But, folks, I dare not read his thoughts live on the air. But we'll go on from there.
You know,
if you hear the remarks from some of the comedians like Jimmy Fallon and all that, of course, going back to Carson, but that they say, yeah, you better not read my thoughts all the way on. But it's good to be talking to you. And you know what's nice about this? I want to interrupt further, only because I've been interviewed thousands of times, and I find so many certain people in the field so interesting. You have a wide area of interest, Glenn, from being described as a political junkie, and yet you're a sports enthusiastic, and yet you enjoy classic rock, oldies, and bluegrass music, right?
Well, the answer to your yes or no question is yes on all fronts. Yeah, the bluegrass music, though, I'm a little bit surprised that you picked out that one, because I am a huge fan of bluegrass.
Something? You know, Glenn, I got to say this also to you. I said for years, if you want to get something done in life, you go to someone who's busy. Obviously, Glenn is busy because, folks, what I didn't tell you, parenthetically, as a postscript, he also is the father of 6 grown children. So, you know, his marriage has been kept rather busy.
Yeah, so busy, Amazing Kreskin, that we got divorced. So but we're still best friends, though.
That's good.
Don and I.
Well, I could sit, and I'm not even joking. I could sit and interview you because you've been exposed to so many branches of radio. You did morning shows, afternoon shows, what have you, and sports talk shows and so forth. And a person like you can handle any kind of scenario. I often say this, Glenn, to people in college, because I've done over, the airline industry announced last year, I guess it was, that they figured I've flown a little over 3 million miles. So I'm on the road much of the time. But I've done over 1,000 university shows in this country, in Canada. And I'll hear, sometimes a student will say to me, after a show, when there's a quick question and answer, they say, you know, Kreskin, you knew what you wanted to do before you were in your teens, or a college student. College students will say, you know, I'm going to college, but I just don't know what direction or what I want to do. And I'll say to them, listen, you got an advantage. Here's the advantage I'm telling you. You're going to sample a lot of things, so you're going to try things. This may not work, that may work. Then when you finally settle in, look at the background of experiences that you've had in diversified areas that you couldn't get in a college classroom. You know what I mean, Glenn?
He is the amazing, I do know what you mean. He is the amazing Kreskin. Of course, he appeared for over a decade on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, 61 times, in fact.
Glenn, I got to tell you something. You got a kick out of this. Do you know the show has now been bought in the States? That's one on the, do you know it's on the cable station? People are, when it first went on 3 months ago, it's on twice a night now, all the old shows. And I guess, I don't know how many it was on the first month, but the actual number that I was on, 61 is the was 88 shows. And we never talked about this then. Carson was very bitter about this. And after he died, Fred DeCordo and I used to comment on it. You know, they didn't know any better in those days. They didn't have the values. But NBC erased all of the first 2 years of his shows. And there's just no trace of them. And when you look back, you think, oh, my God. So that's why Carson had a renegotiation at one point. And every show he did after that was in a metal case underground in California, which may be the best thing for anything put underground in California. I don't know, but
why did they erase the first 2 years of the Tonight Show?
They did that with the jet. So many shows in the early days of television because they didn't have a sense of value to shows. Shows were lost. Mike Douglas' show was a show that was on that I did 118 shows with, more than any guest in history. They lost the first appearances, not just of myself, but other famous people on. It was a different value. Today, you don't erase things. As a matter of fact, Glenn and I mentioned this to college students. Sometime I should show you some of the letters I get from them 2 years later and what have you. I point out, you know, you're not listening because mom and dad didn't stress this or in high school tell your kids this or grade school. We can't erase anything anymore. There are no secrets left. None on the face of the earth. The stories I could tell, beginning with when it came to my attention in Germany, when there was a march on, remember there was a march on Wall Street a few years ago, and this should be interesting to any young people listening to me, college students, what have you. There's a march on Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street.
You try for a job at certain, I'm not going to start mentioning companies, and it's true in this country too, but let's go far away, as out of the country as Germany. You try for a job and they ask your background, where you went to college, where'd you go to college, in New York, and when was it, a certain time? New York, the college near where the March on Wall Street took place. In another room, before you leave that room, are posted on a wall hundreds of photographs of most everyone who marched on Wall Street, including those that defecated on police cars and what have you. They're for the record for good. The business just a few weeks ago when Trump was elected president. Remember this? You heard about the students that were taking exams that said they were so upset they couldn't take an exam? I've heard about it.
Oh, no, we talked about it.
In a few plush colleges where obviously their payment to go to college must have been supported by family, what have you, because they're expensive. And one of the professors canceled the test because the students were too stressed out. Well, that list the students, and don't ask me how or why, but I'm afraid if some of them look for jobs when they graduate, the question that the head of a company will have is a question I would personally have. My God, if you got upset, and you haven't told me this because the right person that they elected, you didn't think you could handle an exam, how are you going to handle the stresses when this job may have a critical moment where you got to think on your feet? Unfortunately today, and I don't think we have hinted to our young people, their history is no longer erased. And I say this, I'm not an alarmist, I say this because I'm told this person to person by the companies who are doing things like this.
He is the amazing Kreskin. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation for a Thank God It's Friday Morning, of course. He came to...
It is Friday. Is it really Friday?
All day long. He came to notoriety with the Johnny Carson Show. He's been on with David Letterman, the Howard Stern Show, Jimmy Fallon. Who was the best interviewer that you ever spoke with?
Well, I want to say this because, and I don't mean to be patronizing, but Jimmy Fallon's one of the most natural that I've worked with since the days of Carson, and a man that's been forgotten today. A lot of people forgot him. His name was Steve Allen, but he preceded Carson, and when he left to go to the L.A. and do a late nighttime show, Carson took over for those 30 years. But Jimmy Fallon has a naturalness I compare with another man that I've gotten to know because of a movie called The Great Buck Howard, in which John Malkovich plays me in the movie. It's called The Great Buck Howard, and Tom Hanks produced the movie. That guy is the same off-camera as he is on, which you don't find with many people in politics or show business, what have you. So I now don't misunderstand me. The other performers that we see on the air are really fine and what have you. By the way, when I did my first Fallon show, I arrived at NBC, and I'm down at Rockefeller Plaza, and there's two men there, and they say, Kreskin? I said, yes. They say, we're producers from the Fallon Show. I said, what's nice of you to meet us here? He said, do you mind if we take you up into the studios? And I said, they said, no audience here. And I said, that's fine, that's fine. We go up through NBC, which I've gone through hundreds of times because of, not just because of Carson, but other shows. We walk in the studio, and I stand there, and I can't move. I gasp, and I stand for about a minute and a half, and my eyes start watering. And they said, Alan wanted you to see this. Do you remember? It was Carson Studios before he left for L.A., and I could tell you every damn corner of the studio because we did so many shows there, and it brought back a flood of memories, including one in which I did something. I said to Jimmy Fallon that when I planned to do this and told the staff I was going to do this, NBC called me and said, Creskin, I said, yes, I was in the Midwest. And they said, you're not to do that with him. We do not want you to do it. I said, okay, because as you know, Glenn, you don't argue with NBC or the Pope or the President or the good Lord. Well, I didn't. So they 2 days before I'm doing the show, I get a call from Johnny's secretary. She says, Creskin, she said, Johnny's got something he wants to go over. She would confide in me at times, but he's going to talk to you tonight. So after I finish the college show, I'm in my hotel room. Johnny calls and says, they told you not to do this, right? Yeah. He had some words to describe NBC. They're four-letter words. They're technical, Glenn. I'm not going to mention them now. They're in some dictionaries. So I get there 2 days later, and the bottom line, I won't go through the whole story, but the bottom line is I'm now the guest, and I'm standing next to Johnny, and he nudges me with his elbow. Well, off to my right is Fred de Cordova, and next to him is the first row of the audience, and there's two men in suits. I knew who they must have been. They must be NBC officials.
They were suits.
And Johnny wanted me to know that these, he had some words, were there. Well, Johnny stood. I started counting. His eyes closed. His body became rigid. Ed McMahon and Doc Severn said, they know what the hell. I said, get two chairs. The crew, the stage crew will explain what we need to do. They put the chairs a certain length. I said, lift Johnny as he's falling. They looked at me. I said, don't let him fall. So they lifted him, and they put his shoulders on one chair, his feet on the other, nothing under the middle of him. And Carson's locked rigidly. This is not a stage illusion. And I asked a woman to come over and sit and stand next to him, and she wouldn't. She was one of the guests. And I said, please come over here. Finally, Fred de Cordova and Ed McMahon says, come over here, and she did. And I said, sit on him. And she looked, you are out of your goddamn mind, she thought. She sat on him, I said, lift your legs. And that picture was in the centerfold of Parade magazine all over the Western world within a month or so as a feature story. And when it was all over, we lifted her off of him. We lifted Carson up, and I started counting backwards. His eyes opened, and he finally shook his head and said, Creskin, I would have thought it was a baby. The person who sat on him, she told me she thought she'd never be asked on again, was Bette Midler, and that was an experience that became legendary. They repeated that show twice in the week. So I've had a lot of dramatic experience, and here I'm at, I'm describing this to David Letterman. He says, you're going to do this with me. If you go on my webpage, because NBC repeated this a couple of times within 2 weeks. I did the same thing about a month later with Fallon, and he was stretched between two chairs, except no one sat on him. I climbed up on a chair, just put next to him, stepped off the chair onto his stomach, and there I stood, and it became one of the dramatic moments of that year. So I've had some stories through the years that I can tell regarding all this television and work. You know?
Well, he must not have been too upset at Bette Midler because she was on his last show and sang to him sitting on Johnny Carson's desk.
He wasn't upset in any way. She was afraid he'd be upset. He was happy that I did it with him because he trusted me. He says, you know what you're doing, Creskin. I'll trust it. And, of course, he was not harmed in any way, any more than when I stood. Now, there are some people on television that I'd like to, when I go on, maybe paralyze them temporarily so they, I'm only joking. But, I've traveled the world, and I think what makes my work so exciting because to do the amount of I got an interview coming up shortly.
You haven't even done your predictions for 2017.
I'm tuning in with people that I've never met in my life. I've not prearranged anything. And I think that's what adds, Glenn, I think that's what adds the excitement what I do, because they find it fascinating with celebrities. But then when I work with a studio audience, and this was a secret of my success of my series, I always had a period of about 6 minutes with the studio audience, because the viewers knew, my God, if I were sitting in that audience, maybe Preston would tell me my Army serial number, or the date of the birth, or the accident I had some years ago. Listen, I just did a private show here in New Jersey a few days ago, a private party of people that booked me, and one of the people whose thoughts I read was a person in law enforcement, and 2 days later, I've been called in on a murder case.
Oh, no.
My second murder case in 3 weeks now.
How much do you get for a private appearance?
Well, it's in four figures, but I love private. Well,
All right, listen, I know you got to go. I know you got to go, but we need to hear the amazing Kreskin's prediction for the coming year of 2017.
Well, amongst other things, let's do the major thing. I've been asked about the war. We're at war. It's a genuine war. It's a different kind of war. It's a war of terrorism, and it's highly, highly organized. But unlike the days of Hitler, where you had to have a Nazi party here in New York and everything else and all the other enemies, these can be pieces of people all around the world because the Internet is able to control things. How long will the war last? I'm not a negative person. I don't believe there's anyone alive who will see the end of that war, even with Donald Trump fighting it. Because, and don't get anyone upset, I say this to college students, where the hell are your studies of history? Where are our politicians not looking into history? We can learn from it. The longest wars in history have been religious wars that have had religious connotations, because you're fighting not just power, but you're fighting ideology, and that's longer to change.
Well, he is the amazing Kreskin. I have a prediction, sir, for you.
Yes, Glenn, I love talking to you. We've got to talk again soon.
Yes,
after the first year.
On January 12th, you will become 82 years old.
Oh, my. Glenn, listen, let me say this to you, and I mean it. I will, if I'm in the area, certainly appear with you on the air, but we can talk again after the first of the year. And let's do this. In the spirit of broadcasting, Glenn, I'm not going to say goodbye to you. Let's just say to be continued. Okay, Glenn?
Indeed. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year, Glenn. Happy New Year.
There he goes. The amazing Kreskin. He's older than you are, Mark.
Yes, he is.
Well, talk about a person whose license plate should read talker.
As mine do.
Yep.
Well, we will be talking with Mr. Racine Mark Eichhorst on the other side. The amazing Kreskin was amazing, and the great Tom Carco will be great, guaranteed, coming up momentarily after we hear from the Personal Touch of Julie on Your Radio Friend.
Personal Touch by Julie Florists, with two locations in Racine, have big news. They've been voted the best of Racine County